Log Talk Radio.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's Lean Keys back with another episode, number 62. This is Real Talk every time. It's all real, very real. Lee, you out there, bro? All right, then, he's there somewhere. I don't know what's happening with the time. It's going wild right now. Lee, you out there?
Yo, what's going on, bro? I'm here.
I don't know what this thing is doing lately. It's saying we were on, like, almost a minute ago and said that the timer hadn't even... I don't know what the hell that was. Okay, maybe that's why I couldn't hear you, but anyways, yeah, we here. We real. Lee, you feeling real tonight?
Oh, I feel real all the time, man. That's the only way to be.
That's a fact. That's a fact. Okay.
So, I think I should be able to hear you out of my headphones now. I forgot I had that on speaker. Can you hear me good?
Yeah, I can hear you, bro.
All right, so I'm going to just get this. I'm not going to say get this out of the way. I'm just going to throw this down right now. All right, so UFC 229 is this Saturday. It's going to be crazy. I've been looking online, and I've been trying to find a bottle because I'm trying to get a bottle of it to toast up some shots for the event of Conor McGregor's Proper 12 Irish Whiskey. And all the liquor stores online shopping have all been out of stock or it says not available in my area, so definitely not driving like 100 miles to get it or something like that. So, and I've looked in some liquor stores, actually in-store physically, and they didn't have it in stock either. So it looks like I won't be having a bottle of Proper 12 Irish Whiskey to, you know, toast up some shots during this UFC 229 event this weekend. But that's okay because I'll definitely be ordering the pay-per-view anyways, regardless if I got the drink, of course. And I'm super excited. All my homies are excited. I think the whole world is excited. Even if you're not excited, you're still excited. You're just hiding it. And you're in denial that you're excited. Even Floyd Mayweather is excited. Floyd Mayweather's dad is excited. His uncle's excited. Pacquiao's excited. All those boring boxing fighters, they're all excited. All those fake belts in boxing, those belts are excited to see real belt on the line. Real fight, real UFC. Everyone wants to see the real fight. All those paper champions who fought the number 12 guy, they're excited. So even Khabib is excited. He's like, oh, my God, babe, we did it. This is my moment. Khabib's getting that red panty night. Don't be beautiful. Vladimir Putin's excited. Donald Trump is excited. All the senators in that Brett Kavanaugh hearing the other day, they're all excited. Brett Kavanaugh is excited. The accuser is excited. The other accuser is excited. The other accuser is excited. Brock Lesnar is excited. All those wrestlers who roll around and do the fake thing over there, WWE, they're all excited. Vince McMahon's excited. Shane McMahon's excited. Lee, everyone in Lee's household is excited. And they don't even know they're excited, but they're still excited. Lee's excited. He won't admit it, but he's excited. He can't wait to see the fall of the Russian Empire.
Well, you hit the nail on the head. I'm really not that excited about this fight because I just, whenever you get super hyped about a fight, rarely does the fight live up to the hype. So I'm trying to keep my hype at a minimal so that if the fight don't live up to expectation, at least I won't be disappointed. But before I go any further, normally I kick off the show with a dedication or, you know, a shout out. I'm going to kick this show off with a public service announcement. People, it's school time. Slow down in school zones, please. We had a little kid get hit the other day out here, you know, walking to school. And I know that the little stretch of street that he got hit on, normally I speed on it, but I normally go to work. I leave for work at 5:30 in the morning. So normally it's probably like me and a few other cars on the road. But if you're driving to work during the time the kids are walking to school, please slow down, adhere to the school zone speed. and treat the school zone as if one of your kids are walking to school. So that's all I want to say on that. Getting back to, you know, this fight Saturday, you know, it's a big fight. Anytime Conor McGregor is in a fight, it's an event, and I think this fight has probably, other than Khabib and Tony Ferguson, this is probably the fight most people want to see. And knock on wood, everybody makes weight, everybody makes it to the octagon Saturday, and we get the show we all want.
Yeah. I don't even want to be worrying about people not making weight. I'm going to say my prayers. crossing my fingers.
Keith is all in on this fight, folks. He is all in on this event.
Yeah, I'm all in on the whole event, and I'm going to tell y'all why. Hold up. I'm going to pull up the card right now. I'm about to just go nuts real quick. Hold on. Here we go. Because my boy Derek Lewis is fighting, so I'm excited about that. My boy Tony Ferguson is fighting. My boy Anthony Pettis is fighting.
I'm excited about Ferguson.
My girl Michelle Watterson is also fighting. My girl Felice Herrig is also fighting. I'm very excited about this entire card. Who else? Oh, yeah, and the other Pettis brother is fighting on the prelims. The prelims main event right before the main card. Sergio Pettis is fighting also, so that even adds on to it. So you got the double Pettis action at UFC 229. These other guys, I'm actually
becoming a fan of Sergio's, man. I kind of like the kid. I mean, even though he lost his last fight, you know, and I think it was a real close fight, I really like his style, man. I like the kid. Go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off. I just want to throw that in there.
No, it's cool. I didn't really have – I'm a little bit sad that you know, my other boy, Sugar Sean O'Malley, was on this card. He was supposed to be the main event of the prelims, but his fight got pulled from the card because he got popped by USADA for a banned substance in, like, the past, like, 2 or 3 days. So, they, you know, we're missing one fight. It was supposed to be a total of 12 fights, including the early prelims, but now we get 11. Actually, no, there is 12 fights. There's supposed to be 13 fights, including the Sean O'Malley fight, but now there's 12 fights. Which 12 fights, I mean, it's been a lot worse. I mean, I'm pretty sure UFC 223 only had like 9 fights on it. And, hey, I know that is partly because of Conor McGregor. I understand. I'm just saying, all right? It could be worse, all right? Conor McGregor didn't fight the number 12 guy, okay? He might have injured some fighters and they got lost from their fight, but he still didn't fight the number 12 guy for the belt. So that's the difference maker. You feel what I'm saying?
You really stuck on that, man. You really stuck on that. And, you know, not to kick a dead horse, but I totally agree with your sentiment on that, that there's no way there should have been a title fight with the number one contender fighting the number 12 ranked guy. I think the UFC definitely dropped the ball on that. And to me, it made them look bad because they was desperate to have a championship fight on that pay-per-view. So, you know, I think it would have been a better outcome if they would have just gave Anthony Pettis a little bit more money and had him fight Khabib for the belt. At least that's a former champ, and he was already due to fight on the card, and his opponent had actually got hurt in the Conor melee, and I think that would have been a better fight. But, you know, they went with Eye Kent to the number 12 guy, and things didn't work out. So now we have this guy that's 26-0. I'm gonna go with him beating Michael Johnson, him beating Eye Kent. I'll give him Barboza. So I'm going to say he's probably a good 4-0 in the UFC. Yeah, I'm going to give him a good 4-0 as my record for him. Because I'm going to take the most notable fights he had in the UFC, not fights against guys in the Boston Beanbag Association generally, you know, so I'm not going to give him those fights. So
backyard wrestling championship.
Yeah. But at the same time, you know, a lot of guys, they have a lot of O's on their record when they come to the UFC. And then by the time they leave the UFC, some of them don't even make it to their fourth fight deal. They normally get cut around the third fight because they just don't pan out. And in the UFC, that's the cream of the crop. There's a couple guys down in Bellator, I think, that probably could still fight in the UFC. You know, Rory McDonald being one of them, even though he lost over the weekend. I never liked Gegard Mousasi because he never really showed up and while he was in the UFC. But, you know, he's down there in Bellator fighting now. I wouldn't mind seeing Chael Sonnen come back and fight in the UFC, but I think his better days are behind him. But I say that to say this. You build your reputation in the A-League, not the minor leagues. So building your reputation in WEC, Bellator, the Japanese featherweight contender series and the World Series of Fighting and all that, man, that stuff don't cut it, man, because them guys are trying to get to the UFC. Them guys are, you know, they're really not well-rounded MMA fighters. And that's all I got to say about that. I mean, they keep hyping up this 26-0, but when you dig a little deeper and look at his record, I mean, like I said, I give them 3-0, maybe 4-0, 5-0 at the worst. So that's where I'm at with Khabib's record.
And I was watching Brendan Schaub. They did an episode, Joe Rogan show, where Brendan Schaub was the guest, and they were talking about Conor versus Khabib. I was watching that, you know, about an hour ago. And Brendan Schaub made such a good point that I just want to post up on the board right now. I'm just going to pin this to the board with a little tack. I'm going to put two tacks, one in the top left corner, one in the top right corner, so in front and center so everybody can see it. You know, I might even think about doing a poster board. I'm going to put the poster board in front of the class, and we're just going to write this down. Conor McGregor's resume compared to Khabib's resume is no comparison. That 26-0, you can add up all those fights versus McGregor's last 10 fights in the UFC, and it is annihilated by the killers that he has fought.
His last 10 fights, Nate Diaz twice, Chad Mendez, Jose Aldo, Eddie Alvarez, Dennis Seaver, that's six right there. Nate twice, Seaver, Mendez, Aldo, Eddie Alvarez.
Probably have Poirier.
Poirier, okay. Holloway. Did he fight Holloway? Wasn't Holloway in that last 10?
I want to pull up the official thing right now.
Yeah, I want to say Holloway included in that last 10.
Yeah, you have Alvarez, Nate Diaz twice, Jose Aldo, Chad Mendez, Dennis Seaver, mm-hmm. Dustin Poirier, Diego Brandao, Max Holloway. Wait, so that's 4 and 9. And Marcus Brimage. Actually, you know what I just realized? Wow. You know, I think I just made an interesting find right now. Lee, did you know that Conor McGregor is only 10-0 in the UFC?
I didn't know that, but I know he hadn't been in the UFC that long.
You know, and I'm pretty sure Khabib is about, I think Khabib is 10-0 in the UFC, y'all. But anyways, my point here is, I mean, Marcus Brimage, I don't even know. I know that guy, they throw out there to lose to guys, so that's not very impressive. But I know Diego Brandao was good, you know, in the earlier days, 2014. He was probably a lot better at that time. I don't even know if he's fighting anymore. He was good at one point at featherweight. Of course, Max Holloway was early in his career, but, I mean, that's still – that was a good fight. Plus, I mean, look at him now. So, that's still – he's still – yeah, no, Poirier. I mean, he fought some savages. I mean, Aldo – people talk about the Aldo fight. I mean, they had, like, a two-year build-up to that. Aldo was unbeatable for the longest time. He was undefeated for 10 years. And Conor slept him in 13, I think 12 or 13 seconds. I'll wait. When's the last time Khabib finished somebody in 13 seconds? Oh, man.
Can I get a cricket soundboard
for this? Cricket sound?
Well,
up in here.
Well, I'm gonna name you.
When's the last time Khabib finished anybody, actually?
Fights.
When's the last time he finished ever finished anybody?
I don't know. But I'm going to name you off his notable fights in the UFC. He fought Gleison Tibau, who's kind of washed up. You know, he's a one-trick pony with submissions and that stuff. Then he beat Rafael Dos Anjos. I don't even remember that fight, but okay. Then he beat Michael Johnson, Edson Barboza, and Al Iaquinta. Everybody else on this list, I don't even know them. Kamaru Usman. I remember that name, Kamaru Usman, but I don't remember him being a good fighter. And then he fought somebody named Thiago Tavares. I don't know who that is. Then he fought Abel Trujillo. I don't know who that is. Then he fought Pat Healy. The name sounds familiar, but really doesn't ring a bell. And then he fought a guy named Daryl Horcher. Definitely don't know who that is. So just comparing their last 10 fights, Conor has definitely fought some guys with name and some guys with game. Whereas Khabib, you know, like I said, I would give him 4-0. 5-0 would be a stretch in the UFC. But he steps up in class come Saturday when he faced Conor McGregor. And Conor better bring his game too, because Khabib is talking, he said he's going to humble McGregor in the octagon. So it's going to be an event.
And the thing that I'm so happy about is this, is that, and I don't care if I don't say things the traditional way or the conventional way or whatever the way that things officially are. Because you know what? I call fake news on your real news. And the real news was that Khabib is the lightweight champion. Now, that's fake news. I'm going to tell you why. So, at the press conference, you see how Dana White said, get Conor's belts? Dana White said, get Conor's belts, okay? And he had both featherweight and lightweight belt with him. And Max Holloway is the champion. Now, he's a real champion. Max Holloway is a real champion because he actually makes it to the fight, first of all. He doesn't fall out of fighting the guy like four times and then fight the number 12 guy for the belt. Holloway fought the champion and then rematched the champion. He fought him twice. So he actually has a more credible right to the featherweight belt than McGregor does. He beat Aldo twice. But that's aside from the point. He said get McGregor's belts. The reason is because McGregor beat the champion for both the belts. Khabib beat the number 12 guy. And his manager, Ali, was mad after the press conference. That's why if anybody watched the whole thing, you see Conor yell over it, and you hear him say Ali Abdiz or however you say his name. You see him kind of arguing with him.
Yeah, he was talking. Yeah,
at the end,
yeah,
I heard it was because it was after Dana White said get Conor's belts, and the fact that you know he had the lightweight belt, and then Khabib was the champion. How does he have the? But the reason is because I think Dana White knows that this is Khabib's real title shot. Neither one of them is the champion. Khabib is not the champion by beating the number 12 guy, and Conor's not the champion because he got stripped. So technically, like, you're fighting for the vacant title, but this is the real title fight. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, I understand what you're saying, but I disagree with what Dana did. First of all, you stripped Conor the belt. Okay, everybody recognizes Max Holloway as the 135 champ, 145. Well, everybody recognized Max Holloway as
Holloway 145.
So
Dillashaw number 135.
Yeah. So everybody recognized Holloway as a champ, and Dana, you stripped Conor of the belt. So why would you say go get the belt? I mean, that don't even make sense. I mean, it kind of is actually a smack in the face to everybody that's been fighting, you know, since Conor been out. Why would you do that? What about if that was Ferguson that was fighting Khabib? Would you still have Conor come out wearing his belt? I mean, I just don't understand. Now, I get the hype that the UFC feel like they got to kiss Conor's ass, but there's just certain things you don't do. It's just like when John Jones, when he fight his next fight, you going to get him a belt to wear across stage after he beat DC? No, you ain't going to do that. So why would you do this for Conor? You don't need Conor to have a belt to hype the fight. Have enough hype to make the fight. It's going to be one of the highest grossing pay-per-views, and it's probably going to be one of the highest bought pay-per-views of the year. So Dana really didn't need to do that. And Rivals Khabib, I mean, even though he fought the number 12 guy, I still feel disrespected. I tell you what better not happen when T. Woodley fights Kobe Covington. I bet you Kobe better not come out there with that interim belt. I know that better not happen.
Well, you know what, though? In his videos, he usually has the belt with him when he does, like, when he calls into, you know, the video chats and everything. You see him on the interviews, and I've seen him with his belt a couple times. You know, wearing the Make America Great Again hat while wearing the belt.
Ridiculous.
He tends to have that look on him. You know, he likes to have the belt on him at all times, Azeem. So Woodley's going to smash him. So he can take the belt. He can take the belt to the press conference. He can take it into the octagon. He can take it with him after. But he's going to know he got smashed. And he can have the – he can take it home with him on the bus. After he got smashed in the fight, it doesn't matter. That's the boo-boo belt.
Yeah, man, But, man, I get hyping the fight, though. I understand that part. You got to sell it. But Conor sells most of his fights just through his name and press conferences. He don't need to have a belt that everybody knows that he hasn't defended since he won it. So, but it's just a double standard, man. It's just a double standard when it comes to Conor. And I understand the business side of it, but I just think it's messed up when you look with you if I was another fighter in the UFC. But I'm hoping for a good fight. Like I said, I'm keeping my expectations low because normally big fights normally don't come out as good as you want them to. So, but I'm looking forward to Saturday.
Well, I mean, we can look at it this way. The UFC Calgary. UFC Fight Night Calgary, which was and right about smack dab in the middle of the summer. It was like, you know, third or fourth week of July. That was, in my opinion, the best card of 2018. And it was probably one of the least promotion. It was probably one of the lowest promoted UFC cards. People everywhere probably had no idea. It seemed like no one had any idea. I mean, after all, it's a fight night card. They don't get promoted nearly as much as the, you know, the marquee cards. But it was definitely one of the lowest promoted cards. And it was, in my opinion, the best card of the year by far. So, I mean, they had Poirier. And that was the one they had Poirier-Alvarez too. They had Joanna versus Chicha Torres, I think. And then they had Aldo versus Jeremy Stevens. So, and those were all good fights. Those were all really good fights, I thought. Aldo had a crazy knockout of Jeremy Stevens, which was out of nowhere. Poirier got revenge on Eddie Alvarez. I mean, that was an excellent event. My point is, it was one of the least promoted, and I think that was the best card of the year, 2018, by a far margin. There's not even a close second to that card, in my opinion. I can't think. Can you think of one off the top that you think is a better card? If you think it is, I'm truly asking if you think there's a better card than UFC Calgary, Lee.
Man, I'm thinking, man, because most of the fight cards haven't lived up, man. And at least all those fights were good, and that was a free event.
And it was free.
I think the only card, actually, that card was last year. So, there isn't a card that stacks up to this. Maybe this New York card I think after this weekend, the New York card will pass the Calgary card. I think this card this weekend will pass the Calgary card as the best card of the year.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it has the potential to. I think this one and then the New York card could potentially pass it. Then, I mean, they also just announced today, I'm pretty sure it's official today, they didn't say if it was the main event, but UFC 231 is Max Holloway defending his belt against Brian Ortega.
T-City.
So you have that. In that card, you know, depending on how they stack that up, that could potentially be, you know, better than. And then UFC 232, they're supposed to have Cyborg versus Amanda Nunes, champion versus champion fight. And then I also heard that some big news that I think you would like is that I've heard, you know, from multiple sources that they're planning to strip DC of the lightweight belt and make that a vacant belt so that John Jones can fight Alexander Gustafsson at UFC 232 for the light heavyweight belt.
I think that's a great idea, but is the UFC really going to strip DC? Because you know that's one of their guys, so that's yet to be determined. And if they do, I do like Gustafsson fighting for the belt. Even if he don't fight John Jones, I'd rather see him fight the number three guy or the number anywhere from 3 to 5. So that way at least it's a legitimate fight for the legitimate belt instead of fighting the 12th ranked guy.
Yeah, I think yeah, DC is a company man, so it's hard for them to strip him. I suppose they could just make an interim belt like they did to Woodley and just make an interim title fight. I mean, Woodley was very active, and they made an interim title fight. And then he came back after and beat Darren Till's ass, embarrassed him, destroyed him, annihilated, decimated, destroyed. Annihilated. I don't want to even keep going with this because I did this the last show and the one before it. Annihilated. Embarrassed. Shameful what he did to Darren Till. That was a sin. I'm a part of the Catholic faith. That was a sin. Shame on you, Tyron Woodley. Shame on you for doing that to that kid. He bullied him. He might not have been bullied in school because Darren Till, the bullies knew Darren Till would. They knew he had hands, so he didn't get bullied in school. But you bullied him in that octagon, and you should be feeling bad about that. But go apologize, Tyron Woodley. You should apologize to Darren Till for that beating you put on him. My God.
Wow.
Anyways. Oh, man. We got to get Woodley on this show. We got to. That's got to happen. But another thing that I heard was that.
I think if Woodley was on the show, you will actually be speechless. I will probably have to conduct a whole interview of Tyron Woodley because you wouldn't know how to act.
Hey, I think that that's a pretty that's accurate because you know I remember when I was mad young, my idol used to be big into wrestling, and I met John Cena. Did I ever tell you about that?
Mm-hmm. Uh-uh.
I told you that?
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I met John Cena in when I was probably like 9 or 10 years old, and he came out here to the city, and he was signing autographs for a bunch of people. There was tons of people there, and I got his autograph, and he was like, hey, what's up? Like, he was talking to me, like, when I had gotten to the front of the line, he was, like, signing my autograph, he was talking to me. And I couldn't even, like, get a word out. Like, I don't even think I said anything. Like, I just, like, looked at him, and, like, he was talking to me, and I just, like, forgot how to speak. And I just couldn't get anything out. Like, I tried, but, like, it just, nothing came out. And I just, like, I took his album that he signed, and I just walked away, and I was just frozen. I didn't even know. I kind of collect myself. So, yeah, I mean, that could potentially happen if Woodley came on the show. I might just not even be able to speak. I might have to mute my mic and just listen. Yeah, but one thing that I heard that I think is garbage, and I'm going to get back to the UFC 229. There's more things I want to say about that. You know, we got all night. I got more things I want to say about that. More and more things. Oh, you know what? I forgot, actually. My other boy.
Okay, Wesley.
Ovince, OSP. OSP is on the card this weekend, too. How'd that slip my mind? Did you know that?
No, I did.
Yeah, Ovince St. Preux is on this card. I like Ovince St. Preux. That's my guy. Yeah, he's on the main card. Wow, that's a solid main card. Michelle Watterson, the beautiful, extremely skilled Michelle Watterson. Derek Lewis, the beast. He's actually fighting Volkov. That's actually a dangerous fight for both. I mean, kind of a dangerous fight for both of them, my God. Yeah, he's fighting Alexander Volkov. Jesus. Damn, Volkov is 29-6. Yeah. Volkov's a beast, too. I feel like that's the number 2 versus number 5. I feel like the winner of that could be the next one for a heavyweight title. You think so?
You know, it's so tough to call because you never know what the UFC gonna do, man. Are they gonna bring another no name from another organization? You know, hoping that she just I don't know, man. I don't know, bro. I just can't call it because, you know, I've been kind of shook since, man, you talked about the Shevchenko thing earlier. And I just think that's a bad move. And I'll let you go ahead and lead us into that discussion. Because I just don't understand what the UFC is trying to do. Max is kind of frustrated.
I don't know. I feel like for the heavyweights, at least, I can at least say I feel like they might be just trying to space out some time because they want to hold off the top contenders at least throughout the finish of 2018. They want to have the division sort out a little bit for the remainder of 2018 because they're trying to hold off until the heavyweight fight with DC and Brock Lesnar. Which
I
they're
see
probably
that.
Hoping
I see,
for.
I see that.
They're probably
the plus
hoping
is only
to
what about six or seven good heavyweights. What's about six or seven good heavyweights?
Yeah, exactly. So they don't have that much to work with. What they should probably be if I was the UFC, what I would be hoping for right now, and this is the truth. I'm gonna throw some shit down right now. And I really hope this pans out because this this might really be the savior for the heavyweights. They need to have Greg Hardy. Greg Hardy, have you been watching him in the contender series?
Yeah.
Greg Hardy's been bodying people in the contender series. He's been knocking out everybody. What the UFC should be hoping for is that Greg Hardy keeps kicking ass in the contender series. I'm pretty sure they gave him a UFC contract. So I'm pretty sure he could, I don't even know why he's still, I feel like he could be, okay, I have the article right here actually. It says Greg Hardy still on UFC developmental deal following third straight win. Okay, so he's not officially in the UFC. I don't think he has an official UFC contract. But I think they should be hoping that he keeps knocking guys out and that he can come up and be a new name for either light heavyweight or heavyweight. Because actually both of those divisions need somebody.
Fresh blood.
Because light heavyweight is yes, because light heavyweight is bogus as far as I'm concerned too. You got like no skilled guys in that division. The only guys off the top of my head that are hot right now at light heavyweight, Gustafsson's not even hot right now. He guy barely even fights. Okay, he's skilled, but he barely fights. So I don't even count him as being hot right now. He's just sitting around waiting for a John Jones fight. Anthony Smith, and Vulcan was hot. I mean, he lost to DC, but before that, he was hot. So I feel like Vulcan and Anthony Smith are really the only guys that are hot right now, like heavyweight, to be honest. So, I mean, that's a really weak division. Do you know of any other guys at light heavyweight that have been winning? Because I really don't know.
Man,
Corey Anderson's doing pretty good, too.
I was going to say Corey Anderson. I was going to say Uzumir. I really can't say Uzumir, but I can't say that. Yeah, the light heavyweight division ain't that good right now. It used to be the deepest league, deepest division. Now it's like, man, who are these people? Who are these people fighting? And you got to go look them up on YouTube and UFC.com just to figure out who they are. But once again, it comes back to, you know, give the younger guys a chance. You never know what you got until you give them a chance.
Yeah, both of those. I got to look into this and see what weight Greg Hardy's fighting at, because I think he needs to save both of these divisions. That's the only hope. This contender series, they need to be hoping these guys can. They need more talent. These divisions are just boring.
Yeah.
You have guys that aren't doing nothing. I mean, Ngannou wasn't even doing, I mean, his career looks like it's going down the drain, too. He's scared to throw a punch because he'll get tired. So what's the strategy? Just don't throw anything?
And then I also heard Ngannou, he hasn't talked to Dana White since the Derrick Lewis fight. They have had no communication at all. And that's not good.
Those two divisions. Hopefully they get some good guys out of the contender series. Hopefully Greg Hardy can get a contract sooner or later and start. They can get him in there on a fight night card and maybe a fight night main event. And he can KO somebody. I mean, I don't like to wish for somebody to KO somebody. It's kind of cruel, but
okay.
I mean, hopefully he can put on a good performance.
But let me ask you this,
shake
though,
up
Keys.
These divisions.
Let me ask you this. So, you know how, man, you talk about Ngannou, how Ngannou was a one-trick pony, and, you know, once you made him wrestle, once you made him wrestle or you got him on his back, you know, he wasn't going to be that good. So, do you think Greg Hardy would be the same way? I think he'd be the same way, and I think if you rush him up to the UFC too fast, it might hurt his career.
Yeah, actually, that's a good theory right there. Good theory. Yeah. I think you're probably right. You're probably right, and with that in mind, that just makes me think that Greg Hardy, I would like to see him, if he's serious about fighting, then he would, you know, get more diverse, get more well-rounded with his skills. And
yeah,
he would want to be more well-rounded. So, you know, if he's serious and he wants to get better, you know, not just with his striking, go to a gym, you know, and learn some jiu-jitsu and, you know, get some skills off your back. So then when you get up there, you know, we won't have to see you fall because all you can do is throw hands.
Yeah, man, because the thing is, it's just like, you know, and I'm using this as an example, even though it's a bad example. You know, CM Punk, man, you know, he had been training for, what, almost 2 years before his first fight? And when he got in the octagon, it was like he hadn't been training at all. So, but he did fight a tough guy, though, Mickey Gall. So, you know, you have to, Mickey Gall isn't some pushover. But I'm just saying, he had been training 2 years, and you would have never thought he had trained at all. You would thought he came straight from WWE into the UFC. But I think they should probably temper their expectations on Greg Hardy, probably bring him along slowly, maybe put him in, you know, maybe one of the top, maybe the top camps, have them train him, and then maybe unleash him to the UFC, probably have him fight somebody like Mark Hunt, or Orlovsky or somebody that's skills are diminishing but still has a name, and see what happens. Because there's only, what, 6 or 7 good heavyweights. With Fabricio Verdun being suspended 2 years, his career is basically over. And then me and you keep not me and you, but Alistair Overeem, you know, he's been in there a long time. Orlovsky been fighting a long time. I mean, yeah, I wouldn't rush him up there. I wouldn't rush him in to the UFC. I would give him some more time to train and work on his skill set.
Yeah, I agree with that. Man, did you hear?
Go ahead.
Did you hear the? I heard earlier today that the main event for the New York card is supposed to be Valentina Shevchenko fighting one of the girls from the Ultimate Fighter tournament, you know, for the flyweight, women's flyweight belt. You hear about that too?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was.
How you feel about that?
It was actually, man. All right, just for our audience sake, me and Keys did talk earlier about this, and, you know, I voiced my opinion on this earlier, but I'm gonna restate my position on this. I don't like this fight because the UFC have put themselves in a bad position where they feel like every pay-per-view has to have a championship fight. So you're gonna create a championship fight with Valentina fighting some girl I never even heard of. So now I got to go look her name up, try to see when I can find some of her stuff on YouTube, you know, just to see, you know, what she about. And then she didn't even win the Ultimate Fighter. She lost. And then not only did she lose, I want to say that she had problems making weight. So I think the UFC is making a strategic error with this. I think they should have left Shevchenko and Joanna on UFC 231 in Toronto. And also, I just don't understand why would you put a fighter in there that nobody knows anything about. It's just, when me and you were talking earlier, it just give me the Jermaine Geronimo thing all over again. nobody knew who she was, so they just, you know, so they put her out there, and it was like, who is this person? And then they messed around, and she actually won. When I know they didn't want her to win, they wanted Holly Holm to win, just like I think the UFC, they hoping Shevchenko wins. So hopefully it's a good fight, and I don't even think it's worthy of the main event, because I will have Nate and Dustin in the main event. I will probably have Wyman Rockhold in the co-main. I have Adesanya and Brunson, probably the third fight. Well, you know, the third fight going in. I think that's how I will have Michelle Waterson probably on the main card too. So there's a lot of ways they can go with that, but I just think forcing a championship fight down our throat just so you can say it's another UFC pay-per-view event with a title on the line. I just don't think that's smart business.
Yeah, especially because the Eubanks girl that you mentioned, I thought that she, if I remember, she was supposed to fight for the first flyweight belt when they would, in the finals, I think she was supposed to fight one of the other girls, and then she got hospitalized or something like that. I don't know if she, like, missed weight, and then kind of like what happened to, maybe a similar situation to what happened to the other flyweight champion that was supposed to fight Shevchenko at the last event.
Nico.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah, similar situation to that. So I don't know why they would put somebody in there who, I don't know. I just hope, I hope everything goes well. I hope that she doesn't end up, you know, in the hospital trying to make weight. Because of trying to make weight. I think that's...
Yeah.
I mean, it goes back to what we always say. These fighters, a lot of them cut way too much weight and, you know, putting such a toll on their bodies just to be able to get, you know, and be able to compete in a certain division, whether it's because it's to their advantage or they're more comfortable or I don't know what the reasons are, but I think a lot of a good majority of the fighters are cutting too much weight, and it's affecting their careers and their, I mean, most importantly, their physical health.
Man, it's just, you know, I know we haven't did a show like this in a while, but I think our next show, I want us to write down a card. I want us to come up with a card that we want to happen in 2019. You know, we'll come up with 7 fights that we want to see in 2019, you know, and we'll say why we want to see the fight, you know, why it's important, you know, because it's just so many spinning wheels right now in the UFC that as a fan it's hard to keep up with. And when you see certain fights, you like, wow, this the best you can get this person? So Yeah, we get to pay matchmaker for the UFC for one card, and more than likely they'll probably try to copycat us like they normally do.
True.
I mean, we could just be on the creative team at this point. Our creative ideas, our matchmaking skill unmatched, because if we put out a card, they might want to try and book that same card. At that point, we got to be more in the mix.
Yeah.
We got to get ourselves more in the mix. We need some credit.
Yeah, man. That's all we asked for, was a little bit of credit, not much.
Yeah, I like that idea. I think do you want to both come up with seven fights, or you want to do like half and half?
No, we both
come up with like three. All right, I thought you were going to say both of our top three fights we'd want to see, and then we could put them together for one big card. I mean, yeah, but we could do that too, both make a card.
Yeah, I mean, in which way is easier, but, you know, I was just thinking that most people normally start watching the paper. They normally watch the prelims first, and then they watch the card. So I just wanted to keep it similar to that format, you know, because I think it's only about three fights on the event. Oh yeah, it's gonna be more this time because it's MSG. But you know, man, I just think having a child on the sideline and all that stuff, that's gonna be good. So I don't know, man. I just want us to come up with, cause you know, me and you've been very critical of the cards here lately. And one thing about when you buying a pay per view, you want your money's worth.
That's true. And a big part of that comes with people making weight.
Yeah.
If your favorite female fighter or male fighter misses weight, you know, like it kind of ruins the card for somebody because you might have only been watching for that one, you know, with that one fighter, and then they miss weight, and now the card's kind of ruined.
That's why
we're
so worried
you.
About Karen too.
Well, exactly, because. I mean, I didn't want to not see. I mean, I kind of that kind of like would take out two birds and one stone, and not in a good way, because then you don't have Woodley fighting either. Because Woodley said that he would not fight Kamaru Usman on short notice, whether it was short notice or not. He said that he wasn't going to fight. So if Darren Till couldn't fight, you know, if he missed weight and the commission said he wasn't, you know, healthy enough to fight, then you wouldn't have Woodley fighting either. So you end up missing out on two fighters, and then you just in turn lose the whole main event.
Which really pissed me off, because what was the purpose of having a standby fighter then if he was going to refuse to fight the guy? So basically you had Usman waste his time.
Yeah, but Usman made a check, though. He made some good money just to wait.
Yeah, he got a check. Yeah, he got paid.
I'm glad that they paid him for that, because I know there's been some cases where fighters don't get paid for not living up to the the obligations they made for a fight, or something happens, the fighters don't get paid, and it's kind of unfortunate, but I think they did him right by setting it up that way. They put some respect on Usman for doing that. I mean, I'm sure he was happy with it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm quite sure.
He was weighing in for a title fight, so I'm sure he made, a $200,000 or something like that. I mean, he easily made a six-figure check to weigh in. It's for a title fight.
Yeah, he got a nice little bit of money. But he did come out and say that he won't do that, he will not do that again. You know, I can understand why, especially when Willie said he wouldn't fight him. So, you know, it's like, so why did I go through all this? So,
yeah, that is. I mean, because if it came down to it, and then he would have weighed in and get paid, and he would have wanted to have the end result be a fight. But if he was needed and then Willie didn't want to fight, I mean, he would just be disappointed because, of course, that's what you got paid for. You want to be able to fight. So that would have just been a letdown. I'm sure he probably would have been a bit excited for that moment, too. UFC title fight is, you know, different than, you know, backyard boxing league and all that.
Yeah.
You know, Usman never seen that stage. A lot of these guys never seen that stage. You know, Darren Till had never seen that stage. And once the light hit him, he didn't know what hit him.
Yeah, I just I know a lot of people probably like, you know, what's going on with our show tonight. You know, we just wanted to get up here and talk about, you know, the card that's coming up. We definitely going to get back up here probably Thursday or Friday and make our predictions, talk a little bit more, break the card down a little bit more. And because, you know, it's a big fight weekend. And this is a man. Card here has opportunity to be, like I said, probably the best card of the year if everybody do what they're supposed to do and everybody make it to the Octagon.
Yeah, I hope at least those, you know, every main card fight makes it. I don't think I've ever seen, off the top of my head, I don't remember Michelle Waterson ever not making weight. Elise Herrig, I'm not sure. She might have missed a weight once before. I really not positive on that. I've never seen a OSP not make weight. The guy he's fighting, I don't really know with who he's fighting. I don't think I've ever seen Derek Lewis not make weight. He has not made it to a fight, but that wasn't because of that. That was because of, I think he was hospitalized when he was supposed to fight Fabricio Verdum around.
Yeah, his back had messed up with him.
And then, I mean, Khabib, we know he doesn't make it to the fight ever. So, I mean, he's had a couple, two, three times he don't make it to the fight. But I've never seen Conor miss weight or not fight. So it's usually the opponent. But anyways, yeah, if everybody makes it to the card, it'll be a beautiful day / night. And I'm extremely excited for it. I think everybody's excited for it.
Yeah, I am. I mean, you know, I'm tempering my expectations, like I said, because just sometimes the fights just don't live up to the billing. So I just don't want to be disappointed. So, but the thing is, it's a UFC pay-per-view event. It's this weekend. You know, I can't wait. Where am I watching the fight at? I'm either watching the fight at the big backyard or I might go to Hooters again. Hooters was actually pretty cool when I went for the last pay-per-view. And it was free with no cover. And the two bartenders I had, they were awesome. So, you know, I don't know. I might go back to Hooters. We'll see. That's to be determined.
Yeah, we'll have to check in back with that on Friday when we get our show after the weigh-ins. And we'll get to see where Lee's going to probably go for the fight. So, hopefully everybody makes it. On that note, I know it was kind of a lower energy show tonight. I think we're just trying to, you know, level out our anticipation. We're trying to keep it calm and not get too excited for the card yet.
Oh, we'll be excited Friday.
Yeah, I think we'll be a lot more hype
Friday after the weigh-in show. Yep.
Also, one thing to note too is that it's pretty late out here. And my side of town, it's my side of the world, it's 11 o'clock at night. So I'm just a bit tired. So that if I sound like my voice is dragging, I'm probably just, you know, actually I'm pretty exhausted, so my bad for that. Yeah. But yeah, we're gonna check back after the weigh-ins on Friday. Hopefully, when we get to that point, we'll have given everybody an update that everybody made weight, and we'll be hearing that ourselves, and everything will be good to go. So yeah, we appreciate everybody for listening, if ever, and everybody stay positive. Lee's gonna jump on and talk his piece, and then we'll wrap it up.
Yeah, like I said earlier in the show, for those people that are driving to work, man, slow down in the school zones. We had a little kid get hit out here in Denver this week because somebody was speeding through the school zone. So just take your time, slow down, be aware of the school zones, and treat it as if one of your kids is walking to school. And then also I want to give a I want to tell everybody, check out the new Carter 5 by Lil Wayne. I listened to it. I gave it a solid 8. It ain't a bad listen. Actually, Wayne, he switched up his style, and I like his new style, his new flow. So, check that out. And then shout out to my man Keys. I know you back in school, bro. Keep on grinding. Keep on pushing. And till Friday, y'all, we'll holler.
Lee and Keys, real talk, over and out. Everybody have a good night.
Peace.